Gracious God, our Father, we do come, Lord, with thanksgiving on our hearts. We do thank you, Lord, for you've brought many of us from a mighty long ways. Lord, you've been better to us than we could have ever thought to be to ourselves. For that, we say thank you. We thank you, God, for life, health, and strength. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come today, assembled in your house of prayer and praise, clothed in our right minds. Thank you, Lord. God, we come asking, Lord, that you would guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims through this barren land. I'm weak, but you're mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Now, O God, make the words of your prophet true, that your word never goes out and returns again void, but it accomplishes all that you send it to. Touch some heart, strengthen some soul, save somebody, deliver somebody, set somebody free. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're certainly giving honor to God for his presence in this place, the spirit of worship, to these my cleric colleagues who preach the gospel, to the deacons, the deaconess, the officers, members, and friends, to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will pray with me, I believe there is a word from the Lord today from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, verses 11, 12, and 13, and then verse number 30. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, choir, for blessing us. And I was going to say that one of my favorite scenes from The Color Purple is the church scene. Amen. They're celebrating, but there's also grace and mercy and reconciliation. And that's always something to be happy about. From the King James Version, you will find these words. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And the 30th verse, And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of God for the people of God. Even most casual Christians are familiar with these two parables recorded in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The first is the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. At the very heart of this story is one group that was prepared and on time, while the other was unprepared and ended up being late. And the second parable involves the 3 servants who each received from their master talents according to their abilities. The first 2 servants used what they were given and were able to multiply and double what they had received, while the last servant buried his, gained nothing, and ended up short. The 5 foolish virgins were late, and the 1 lazy servant came up short. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, a day late and a dollar short. A day late and a dollar short. Thank you, ushers. If you follow this narrative, you will no doubt see that in this text, Jesus had already set his eyes heavenward, and he begins his long, difficult, and treacherous march towards Calvary. His earthly ministry was nearing what would seem like a climactic and tragic end on Golgotha's hill. He had done marvelous and great things in the course of his 3.5-year whirlwind ministry. In that short time, he had taught great lessons of invaluable worth to all of his disciples and those who would be his followers. And on top of that, he had done miracle after miracle, and they were able to witness it. Jesus, being who he was, we do know that he was always aware of God's plan, purpose, and timing for his life. And he now sees the terrestrial setting of the sun on his life's sky. His earthly days are about done. But in retrospect, he has done marvelous deeds to honor and glorify his Father in heaven. And isn't that what the Christian life is all about? Living so we can give honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Jesus had healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, caused the lame to walk, fed the hungry, gave hope to the hopeless, shined light in dark places, and been a perfect model of humility and obedience. But he is now on an unavoidable divine mission of mercy, a collision course which would lead him to what the hymn writer called the old rugged cross. The divine clock is ticking away as his earthly journey nears its end. He knows that it's almost time for him to go back from where he came. His mission on earth is almost completed, but he has one more stop. And with an eye on eternity, Jesus leaves the temple in Jerusalem and moves his mobile pulpit to the Mount of Olives, where when he gets there, he engages his disciples spiritually by instructing them and teaching them through parables. Jesus was doing his best to prepare them and get them ready for his imminent departure. He wanted to leave the truth with them about what they could expect from God, but also what God expects from them. So he lays a foundation that says our relationship with God is a two-way street. Traffic goes both ways. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. God favors us so we can be a favor to someone in need. God elevates us so we can lift someone else who is down. God provides and gives us what we need so we can use it in such a way that we give him honor, glory, and praise. Now, most of us have learned, especially our elders, that God is faithful. Whatever God says, he'll do. You can count on it. Psalmist understood this and picked up his pen and wrote these words, "I will sing of thy mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to the generations." In other words, God is dependable. God is trustworthy. And God never changes. So you can trust that God will do just what he said he would do. The hymn writer contemplated the nature of God and picked up his pen and wrote, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions. They fail not as thou hast been. Thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord unto me. I like to think that's why y'all were shouting. Ain't God all right? So sisters and brothers, if God said it, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back, you can count on it. If God said, I'll make your enemies your footstool, you can count on it. If God says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, you can count on it. If God says, be still and I'll fight your battles, you can count on it. If God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, you can count on it. If God said, I'll provide your needs according to my riches in glory, you can count on it. If God says, be ready, for no man knows the day or the hour, you can count on it. Is that right? Sisters and brothers, in spite of how it may look, what we may be feeling, or what we may be going through right now, God is faithful. God may not do it how we want, like we want, when we want, or where we want, but he always shows up on time with just what we need. Is that right? We can wait expectantly on God, but lest we forget, God also waits expectantly on us. God does not want us to keep bumbling and fumbling through life. He expects us to get it together with the help of the Holy Ghost. Get that right? God expects us to learn how to love him and to love others. He expects us to learn how to serve him and to serve others. And God expects us to obey him, especially if we love him. How can you do it? You can do it by surrendering. We can do it by surrendering our lives in accordance with the word of the Lord. Why should we do it? Because if truth be told, these are two parables that focus directly on the final judgment and reminds Christians everywhere that we are accountable to Jesus for what we have received. Am I right about it? Our acceptance of the gospel is no cause for us to sit down and do nothing. Because genuine acceptance of Jesus is a lifelong journey. Sometimes up and sometimes down, but still pressing on. Sometimes weak and sometimes strong, but still pressing on. Sometimes encouraged and sometimes discouraged, but still pressing on. Ever mindful of the words of the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Galatians, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. Now help me, Holy Ghost. Sisters and brothers, when Jesus came the first time, he came as a suffering servant and a savior of the world. But when he comes back again, he will come as a sovereign judge. Do I have a witness in here? The parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish, is one that seeks to teach us about being prepared or being ready. Is that right? This lesson borrows from the Palestinian practice of the groom who goes to fetch his bride from her parents' house and brings her to his new home to live with him. The groom is Jesus, and the bride is the church. So we've got to be ready when he comes. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when he comes. I don't want my lights to go out because the oil had run out, and I end up late. Late when he calls my name. Late when he comes for me. Or late when he shows up. When we are not prepared, we end up late. The oil is our service, our labor of love, and work that we do for the master. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and not glorify you, but glorify your Father in heaven. When we do God's work, we're never late. When we love one another, we're never late. When we help those in need, we are never late. When we feed the hungry, we're never late. When we visit the sick, we're never late. When we clothe the naked, we're never late. When we visit those in jail, we're never late. And when we share the word of God through our walk and our talk, we are never late. Ain't the Lord all right? But I want you to know, if we are not careful, we can sometimes take God for granted because of how we misinterpret his grace and mercy. Sometimes we think that grace and mercy alleviates us from our God-given responsibility to obey God, to serve God, to love, to give, and to forgive others. But I want you to know, God's grace saves us, regenerates us, and sanctifies us. But it does not free us from our Christian responsibility of being prepared, or for our responsibility of being good stewards over all that God has given to us. Isn't that right? God's mercy often stays the hand of punishment while we are yet in our sin. But it does not take away our responsibilities as born again believers to serve this present age. The Apostle Paul put it this way, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God's grace leads to salvation. Mercy keeps us from punishment. But James understood that faith by itself was dead. That's why he wrote, faith without works is dead. The hymn writer Charles Wesley concurred with those sentiments and picked up his pen and wrote, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Ain't God all right? My sisters and brothers, if we believe that God has not given anything to us to do, and we will end up a day late and a dollar short. Do I have a witness? Jesus gave those parables to his disciples to clarify what it meant to be ready for his return and how to live until he comes. In the story of the bridesmaids, we are taught that every person is responsible for their own spiritual condition. Is that right? The story of the talent shows the necessity of using well what God has put in our hands. Am I right about it? But no parable is complete by itself. Instead, they work together and paint a whole picture. In the parable of the talents, the last man was thinking only of himself. He hoped to play it safe and to protect himself from his taskmaster. But he was judged for his self-centeredness. Am I right about it? We must not make any excuses for avoiding what God has given to us or not doing what God has called us to do. If God truly is our master, we must obey willingly. Our time, our abilities, and our monies, they aren't ours in the first place. We are merely caretakers, not owners. When we ignore, squander, or abuse what has been given to us, we become rebellious. And God will punish us. Am I right about it? And the real evidence of our life belief is obedience to God. with the blessings he places in our hands. Is that right? The 10 virgins were all in the same place, waiting for the same thing. But 5 were not prepared. As a result, they were late for the final call. They ran out of oil. They ran out of love. They ran out of patience. They ran out of faith. And they ran out of willingness to serve others. They just ran out. And they ended up late. They came crying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But they were late. It's not enough just to call his name. Am I right about it? It's not only important about what Christians say, but it's also important about what we do. After you call his name, you ought to do something. After he saves your soul, you ought to do something. After he makes you whole, you ought to do something. After he picks you up, turns you around, plants your feet on solid ground, you ought to do something. If you work for the Lord, the words of that old gospel tune, it will be a reality for you. If you live right, heaven belongs to you. Am I right about it? Both of these parables have positive and negative outcomes. Both of these parables have good and bad responses. Both of these parables involve action and or inaction. Both of these parables have an upside and a downside. But the main focus is on neglect of the 5 foolish virgins and the negligent servant. They are no different than some of that sit in our church pews week after week and never do anything, never give anything, or never share anything. They live their lives mainly for themselves. They act as if everything they have is theirs. But if you live like that, if you die one day, you're going to be a day late and a dollar short. In some churches, they teach what I call a one-sided faith. As a result, many Christians practice a one-sided religion. What is a one-sided religion? It's a religion whose members always want from God, but they never give anything back. It's a religion whose members always have their hand out, saying, "God, give me this, and God, give me that." But they never learn to say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" It's a self-centered, self-serving religion. It's a religion about me, myself, and I. It's a religion that doesn't serve nobody, doesn't give anything. It's a religion that doesn't involve any work. Am I right about it? You won't find people who practice that kind of religion going to Sunday school or Bible study. And their motto is, "I don't believe that's for everybody." But I stop by here to tell you, my sisters and brothers, the people who practice that kind of religion one day will end up a day late and a dollar short. Every year, we celebrate the season of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But I stop by here today to tell you, he's coming back again. This time he won't be coming as a savior, but instead he'll be coming as a judge. Jesus wanted his disciples to know, to be ready, and to be watchful, and to use their gifts to enrich the world and his kingdom. So in this chapter, Jesus opens with these 2 parables back to back. He wanted them and us to know that you can be waiting and still be late. If you run out of oil, you can have talents but still come up short. If you don't use them to the glory of God. In other words, you could end up like the virgins and the servant, a day late and a dollar short. These are parables about being prepared. You're either ready or unready. You're either prepared or unprepared. You have either finished or not finished your work. You have either done or not done your God-given assignment. You're either on time or late. You either have enough or you don't have enough. Whatever the case may be, we must remember what the elders used to say. Don't let them catch you with your work undone. And while we're working, we must remember what the psalmist said. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to God. Do I have a witness in here? If you don't believe me, just die and see how much you can take with you. Yes, it's the Lord. So we might as well give him all. Yes, it's the Lord. So we might as well put our hand in his hand. Yes, it's the Lord. So we might as well turn it over to him. Yes, it's the Lord. So we might as well get ready for him to come back and give an account. Sisters and brothers, I want to be ready. That's why I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation, holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. When I get through working on my building, I'm going up to heaven to get my reward. Hallelujah. God always gives a whole lot more than what he gets from us, but he still expects us to give something back to him, to honor him. That's why Solomon wrote, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your blacks will be bursting. So if we want to be ready, we ought to honor the Lord with our time, our talent, and our resources. Am I right about it? I want to be ready when the Lord comes. We may not be perfect, but we can be ready. We ought to begin asking ourselves, am I ready to face God? Is my spiritual life what it ought to be? But I can tell you, we're not ready if we haven't repented of our sins. If we haven't received Jesus as Lord. If there is no love in our heart for others. If we hold on to grudges. If we have resentment towards somebody. If there's jealousy and envy towards others. We are definitely not ready to meet God. Do I have a witness? If we're not living like we should. Not acting like we should, not talking like we should, not worshiping like we should, and not giving like we should, we're not ready. If we're not studying God's words, keeping God's commandments, supporting God's work, singing God's praises, seeking God's face, loving God's people, revealing God's grace, serving God's interests, revealing God's love, trusting God's promises, waiting on God's will, going God's way, or holding God's hand, we're not ready. But I've held you too long. But as I close, I'm reminded of a story about a king who had four sons. He wanted to discourage his sons from making rash judgments that made to bad decisions. So he commanded his eldest son to make a trip in the winter to go see a mango tree that was across the valley. And he did. When the spring came, the next oldest was sent on the same trip. The summer followed. The third son was sent. And after the youngest boy made the trip to the mango tree in the fall, the king called them together and asked each of them to describe the tree. The first son said it looked like an old stump. The second son said it was lovely, large, and green. The third son said it had beautiful blossoms as pretty as roses. The fourth son said that they were all wrong. To him, the tree was filled with fruit, as juicy as pears. The king said, each of you are right. The father looked at the sons and they were puzzled. So he explained. He said, each of you saw the tree in a different season. That is why each of you was right about what you saw. He then said, the lesson is to withhold judgment until you see the tree in all of its seasons. Sisters and brothers, that's what I want to leave you with. No matter what the season is, it's always the right time to serve the Lord. Sisters and brothers, you can get in trouble for a lot of things, but you can never get in trouble with God for living a righteous life. You can't get in trouble with the Lord for loving others. You can't get in trouble for being kind, being compassionate, caring for others, being gentle, being patient, being humble, or serving the Lord. Ain't the Lord all right? Sisters and brothers, you're always on time when you treat people like you want to be treated. You're always on time when you're faithful to what the Lord has called you. You're always on time when you keep your hand in the master's hand. You're always on time when you keep your lamp trimmed and burning. Ain't God all right? Yes. You never come up short when you're generous with what God has given you. You never come up short when you pay your tithes and give your offerings. You never come up short when you're willing to give to the Lord's causes. You never come up short when you trust the Lord with all he has given you. You never come up short when you remember it all belongs to God. You never come up short when you seek the Lord while he may be found. You never come up short when you put God first in your life. You never come up short when you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, if it might be winter in my life right now, but God is getting me ready. I may be in the fire right now, but God is getting me ready. I may be in the storm right now, but God is getting me ready. Ain't God all right? Isn't he ready? Isn't he good? Has he done anything for you? Won't he put food on your table? Clothes on your back? Shoes on your feet? Didn't he wake you up this morning? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? He's all right. Thank you, Lord. I want to be ready when it comes. When it calls my name, I want to be ready. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Tell me, who shall be able to stand? Oh, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Who will be able? sinners will be running in that. Oh, sinners will be running in that great day. Sinners will be running in that great day. Who will be able to stand? Fire will be falling on that great day. Fire will be falling on that. Oh, fire will be falling on that.